following is a presentation of the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
Are you tired of hearing opinions from experts and people who do it for a living?
Shut up and get to the point!
It's the OHL Fanboys Podcast. Weekly recaps, trade rumors, jersey talk, and some special guests. All things you can probably do without.
Your ideas are intriguing to me, and I wish to subscribe to your newsletter.
Too bad it's a podcast. Welcome to the 21st century, and welcome to another episode of OHL Fanboys with Steve McLean and Brian Thompson.
Welcome to the OHL Fanboys Podcast, Season 5, Episode 24, Regular Season Wrap-Up Edition. I am Steve McLean. With me is Brian Thompson as we get set
playoff
for the playoffs.
Preview edition. I don't want to think about the regular season anymore. Do we have to?
Oh, come on. You don't want to go through tons of stats and oddities?
No, veto. Send it back to Congress. No. I'm declaring an national emergency on your stupid-ass stats.
Well, Brian, we didn't get any tiebreaker games, but are you ready for London Windsor Part 18?
Yeah, I'm very ready. Someone can have my seats.
You're not buying?
No.
Have you gone to your final Spitfire game this season?
No. If London loses to the Spitfires, I will go to the second round.
Watch them play Saginaw.
What's that? Don't need my debit card. Yeah. All right.
Are you going to go to any games, period, in the playoffs?
Well, when we get closer to the final, maybe I'll come up and see one somewhere.
There you go. First of all,
are you going to go to, are you going to any non-Guelph games?
I'm going to try. I haven't been to Niagara yet this year, so I'd like to get down there for a game in the playoffs. And look at that. They have a game on Saturday, and I'm off Saturday without Guelph playing, so.
Really quick on this playoff schedule, there's no games Wednesday.
This coming Wednesday, no. There usually isn't. Usually the playoffs always start on Thursday.
No, every once in a while you'll see some that start on a Wednesday, depending whose team. Like, if you got a team like Owen Sound or what are the other teams that sometimes play Wednesday home games?
I think Hamilton, no. Yeah, Hamilton still plays the odd one. They kind
of inherited. None of them have top four seeds, is my point. So.
No, none of the top four. Well, Sioux will sometimes play when they get, like, Sudbury or Saginaw midweek, but yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, speaking of which, we should point out, since we last spoke to you all, Saginaw did clinch the West Division. And then they, pretty much once they did, they're like, yeah, we don't need to play anymore. They clinched the division with an overtime loss back on Thursday night in the Sioux. That was at home for them against the Sioux. So they clinched it with a loss, and then they had two more games this past weekend. They were playing against London and the Sioux, and they could have taken first place in the West had they beaten London, but London themselves kind of snapped a bit of a losing streak there on. They won in Saginaw on Saturday to take that number one seed. And that kind of left that Saginaw Sioux game on Sunday that everyone could hype themselves up for kind of meaningless in the end, as far as the standings are concerned. Sioux ended up winning it 5-2, so Sioux Saginaw actually ended up tying on points, but Saginaw had more wins, so there you go.
Darius just hit me up. Sudbury, Mississauga, game one Friday, game two Saturday, game three Sunday.
Yes, I knew about that, and I was going to get there.
No, fuck that. I just got the message. So, right,
yes.
Wow.
Yes.
It's kind of bouncing, bro.
Yeah. So the playoff, all like, because going into Sunday, there were still the only series that was set going into Sunday was Ottawa Hamilton. So there were still all these scenarios, but they did post all the possible schedules, and I kind of pointed. I saw it and originally went, wow, and if we get a Sudbury-Mississauga, Sudbury-Mississauga, which we do have, that series starts with a 3-3. You do not get 3-3s in the playoffs, ever. Like,
The reason why, according to Darius, Sudbury has concerts? Really? Stuff comes to Sudbury?
With that wooden...
Mississauga's got the 905 Raptors.
And it's not, if you look at their schedule, it's not just the fact that they start off with a 3-3. I believe the final four games of that series, like games 4 and 5 are on back-to-back days, and then they get like a couple days off, and then they got to play game 6 and 7 on back-to-back days. Now, I think most a lot of the series might do 6 and 7 on back-to-backs, but man, that's a tough schedule for, you know, and Sudbury, Mississauga, I mean, you know, that could go one of two ways. We can get into our predictions a little later. I mean, there is a 20-point gap between the two teams, but at the same time, Mississauga is no slouch. Like, I could see that series going past four, at least. Like, I don't think this is going to be a sweep for the Wolves.
Sudbury Arena website says that they got Mariana's Trench on Tuesday, and Rock of Ages was supposed to be there Wednesday, but it's canceled. But guess who's coming to Sudbury, of all people? Snoop Dogg. Snoop-a-loop.
And he's a hockey fan. You know he's walking out on stage with a Wolves jersey if they hand him one.
I want pictures of Snoop in a Wolves jersey. That'll be my profile picture for a month.
Oh, can somebody, anybody who works for the Wolves organization, if you're listening, get that man a Wolves jersey to wear. Please. We need it to happen. Oh, man. That would be awesome. The Ottawa 67s, as we mentioned, they did wrap up the Hamilton Spectator Trophy. They were the only team this year to hit 50 wins. They got 50 wins exactly. I am the only team to have 100 points. London finished at 99. But novel concept, Brian. But today, this weekend in the WHL, the Prince Albert Raiders are Ottawa's counterpart. They won the WHL regular season title. At their final home game, the commissioner was on hand to present a physical. Here's your, I don't know what it's called out there, but basically, here's your president's trophy.
Hamilton Spectator.
Yeah. Like, what a novel concept.
Yeah, no one wants that trophy, though.
No.
We just want to know it's there.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. It's like, there's a physical trophy. You guys won it. You earned it. Here you go. Not so much in Ottawa, I guess. And again, yeah, that's not the trophy they're after, but still. Anyway.
I'm answering. People are sending in questions to ask during the show, so my attention's a little diverted, but I did hear you, and yeah. I don't care.
Oh, fair enough. Brian, don't care. Six of the eight series in the first round of the playoffs are going to be divisional matchups. And of the two that aren't divisional matchups, one of them is London-Windsor, which, like, come on. Might as well be a divisional matchup, right?
Yeah, because they play six times a year.
And the other one is Sioux Owen Sound, which those two teams have gotten pretty familiar with each other. They do only play each other twice in the regular season every year, but this is the third straight year they're playing each other in the playoffs. So they had a seven gamer, a pretty epic one last year. I know the circumstances this year are a bit different, but those are two teams that got a hate on for each other too. So could be a pretty interesting first round. That being said, and I'll ask of your opinion here in a second, I don't foresee any upsets. There are a couple series that we'll get into that I think could be closer than people might think, but I can't imagine anyone from the bottom four in either conference getting to the second round.
No, same.
Like, and I'll just go out and say it. I think,
like I said, there's a 20-point difference between fourth and fifth in both in both conferences.
Personally, I think the best chance of it happening, believe it or not, is the Guelph-Kitchener series. Kitchener has given Guelph some problems this year. That season series got split four games apiece. Kitchener won the last two games that were in Guelph. Like, and honestly, Kitchener only won six less games than the Storm this year. So, like, you know, Kitchener is a decent team. I still think Guelph's going to win that series, but at the same time, like, if there was going to be an upset, that's where I'd imagine it's coming from.
Well, Sudbury dropping all the way to four, I could see Mississauga giving them a lot of problems too.
And
especially when you got 3-3 to start, like, this could swing either way.
And remember, we're talking about a Sudbury team that really relies on their goaltender. You know, that being so, I know we're we're going out on big limbs here. Hey, I think the 4-5 series are the ones that have potential.
No, but again, there's such huge point disparities between them.
Yeah.
That's a true upset, even though they're one seed lower.
Yeah, exactly. We should talk about each series, and then we'll kind of get to the questions, because Brian did post that question out to you fine folks. Hey, who's got questions for us this week?
Well, if a question pops up that relates to the series, then I'll interrupt you.
Fair enough. Let's start in the Eastern Conference, since I know you're such an expert there, Brian. Ottawa-Hamilton. Hamilton lost three straight coming in. They are the only team from last year's Memorial Cup to get even close to the playoffs this year. They're the only ones that made it. They get in as the eighth seed. And thankfully for them, Barry lost their final six games of the regular season. And actually, I did want to point something out today, because this is, you know... Mississauga and Barrie playing on the final day of the regular season. Now, it meant nothing to Barrie. They were already out of the playoffs. Mississauga had to win the game to get that 5 seed over Peterborough. Barrie had a 4-1 lead. They had just scored their fourth goal with 6.5 minutes left in the third to take a 4-1 lead. Within 55 seconds, the game was tied at 4. And then Mississauga won the game 5-4.
So. Yeah, like what the fuck happened there?
Mississauga rifled off three goals in a span of 40 seconds and about four
minutes. If they don't need to play the full 60, I guess, then yeah.
And then about 3 minutes later, they scored the winner.
Xbox controller unplugged.
Yeah, exactly. So Barrie lost their final six games of the season all in regulation, and they ended up losing out by 9 points. So lucky Hamilton. Hamilton versus Ottawa... I mean, you know, here's the thing with Hamilton. Believe it or not, they have a 50-goal, 100-point scorer on their team, Arthur Kaliev. That being said, you know, I can't, like, you know, you always want to try and give the other team credit. Maybe they can take a game, but you got to take Ottawa in four, right?
No.
No?
Ottawa's been a little bit shaky down the stretch.
That's
not
true.
Not worry about Hamilton shaky, but this is where I always kind of look at the schedule to see if it'll be iffy in that regard. And two games in 2 days in Hamilton, it's either going to be really bad for Hamilton or they can use that to their advantage and squeak one of those two out. And one thing I'll say quickly about the whole playoff bracket, it worked out really well last year. It's working out really well this year. A very minimum of afternoon puck drops.
I know we have one in the Guelph Kitchener series. So what about the rest of the league?
Game two of Ottawa Hamilton is a 2 p.m. puck drop. I'm not going to count game sixes because they're potential Sunday afternoon
guaranteed
games
here.
Yeah. So game two of Ottawa Hamilton is a 2 p.m. and that's it for the Eastern Conference. Game two of London Windsor is a 2 p.m. and game two of Guelph Kitchener. That's it. And then you got a bunch of potential game sixes.
Yeah. And those game sixes always seem to be, especially in the first round, they're always on like that Sunday afternoon, because usually you try and give the teams a bit of a break, like even if it's just a few hours, right?
But I'll say this, though, they're nicely staggered. Like, at least in the Western Conference, if we get to that game six, London Windsor would be at 2. Saginaw Sarnia would be at 4. Guelph Kitchener would be at 6.
Not bad. I only see one of those games getting that far.
In the East, you'd have 2 7 p.m. puck drops, a 2 p.m. and a 2 p.m.
Here's another thing about Ottawa. Like, I've kind of said, like, you say they've struggled. Like, we're talking about struggling by their standards.
For Ottawa.
Yeah. Like, they're still doing really well. But I've kind of chalked it up to, are they just playing, like, bored, right? Because they've had nothing to play for the last while. I mean, coming into, I think they didn't actually clinch first overall until earlier in this week, but still, it's just kind of like, they haven't had the ton to play for, so I don't know. We'll see if now that the games mean a lot more, we'll see if they kind of ratchet it up a little bit. I haven't seen Ottawa in person since January anyway, so we'll see.
I'll say Ottawa in five. Every once in a while you'll get one of those eight seeds that pull out at least one win. So yeah. Especially with the back-to-back, I'll say Ottawa in five.
Yeah. I'm just going to go out. I'm going to go Ottawa in four here. I think one of them will go to overtime. It depends on whether or not they could shut Kaliev down. But the fact that they only have to shut, you know, one of those guys down, as opposed to Hamilton, who's got to shut down three lines, you know.
Speaking of which, I got to give a quick shout-out, too. If anyone's been hearing the show lately, we've been getting way better fucking goal calls. Adam Stewart has been plugging in, checking in every night with games and stuff, getting these awesome radio calls. So a hat tip to our good friend Adam Stewart. Thank you for all your help. Oh, God, TFC just letting a shit goal.
Yeah, big
shout-out.
That's
your fault, Adam Stewart.
Well, not only that, he's been getting some radio calls for us, too, which we usually ramp that up in the playoffs, but we've never really done it in the regular season, so kudos to him for that, because we love us some good radio calls.
Some really good radio calls this year.
So
what's next, Niagara North Bay?
Yeah, Niagara versus North Bay. Niagara beats North Bay on the final day of the regular season to clinch the Central, though I guess they would have anyway since Sudbury lost.
Nothing worse than playing a team in your last game before the playoffs, eh? You don't want to tip your hand about anything. Even though you've played them a few more times than just that game, but you don't want to tip your hand in the least.
No, but... And you know Niagara went with a full lineup today, too, because, A, you had a guy who had an outside chance at... Well, first of all, they had a guy on their team who was going for the scoring title. That was Jason Robertson, which he did win it this year. 117 points, got it done. I believe he was just outside the realm of getting 50 goals. Like, they went with everyone today, because also they had to win to ensure they won the division. So they went with a full lineup. You know, North Bay, you know, they went with a full lineup, too, because Brazo was chasing Robertson for that scoring title. That being said, Niagara kicked the crap out of them. So, I mean, this one, to me, you know, you could say, you know, North Bay will surprise. Like, they're so weird. One night they'll get just hammered, and then the next night, like, they've beat Sudbury a couple times this season. I know they're division rivals and whatnot, but... And Niagara, like Guelph, is one of those teams that loaded up like crazy at the deadline. But at the same time, and they've been really good. They finished the season hot. They won their last six games, 8-2 in their last 10 games. But I don't know. Sometimes they get a little inconsistent too. That being said, I have faith in Niagara that they get this done in four straight as well.
Okay.
What say you?
I already told you they're gonna sweep.
Oh, did you say sweep?
Niagara's gonna shit kick them.
Yeah, I have that feeling as well. Like, just, I don't know. Sorry, North Bay. After that, we get the always classic Oshawa Generals, Peterborough Petes. Peterborough...
It's been a while since they played each other, hasn't it?
Has it? I thought they had one recently.
I know they played Kingston a few times, but Peterborough, but I can't remember an Oshawa-Peterborough series in a while.
I'm going really fast to Wikipedia right now to find out. I'm sure there's a Jens or Pete's fan listening right now, you know,
screaming,
just going, it was in this year, it was just 2 years ago.
Yeah. Well, if it's anyone, it's a damn Jens fan.
2015, Oshawa beat Peterborough in the first round in five games when they won their Memorial Cup.
Okay, that's not too far. I don't remember that series for some reason.
But I mean, you go, yeah, well, it was a first round series between, you know, the team that won the Memorial Cup in their first round. I mean, usually that's not a classic by any means.
No.
Pete's did take a game from them that year.
Before that, the last time was 2003.
Yeah, and that was a
seven-game series.
Yeah, the first round seven-game series. So it hasn't happened much in the past, you know, two decades, I'll give you that. So, hey, and you know what? Peterborough finished the season hot, as did Oshawa. They both won seven of their last 10 games, but... Actually, both identical 7-2-1 records in their last 10. But Peterborough, like, this was a team that was looking very stagnant for a while. And all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, they started winning. Like, I remember saying, like, 2 weeks ago that Mississauga was kind of all alone in that fifth spot. And Mississauga had to win that game on Sunday this week to get that fifth spot. Peterborough had taken over fifth. So, you know, Peterborough, you know, hey, they got hot at the right time. Oshawa is a really good team, though. Kyle Kaiser is such a good goaltender. Like, that's going to be Peterborough's downfall, I think. I want to say this series has the potential of going deep, but I'm going to say Oshawa in five.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. I think Peterborough can steal one at home, maybe. But Oshawa's been pretty damn good at home this year. It's one of a few series that are all-night games, unless you count a 6:05 puck drop as a day game. It is not.
No. I'll call it an evening game, but it's not a day
game. It's that series and Sioux Owen Sound. Sioux Owen Sound is strict 7 p.m. puck drops.
Yeah. So you had them in 5 as well?
Yes, sir.
All right. So we're not very... very different so far, but you're
the idiot who thinks Hamilton's gonna get swept, whereas I say it's 4. Huge difference.
Yeah, exactly. No, you said it was in 5. I said 4.
Yeah, whatever.
My point is the
first round is always pretty meh. Yeah. Just give us overtime games. I don't expect anything but 1-4s. But
yeah, Sudbury, Mississauga.
That was a question I got from. Brandon Boyer, what series do you look forward to the most? This one.
Yeah, this could be pretty good. Mississauga...
Sudbury is better than a 4.
Yeah, like, they almost won the division title, and this is one of the best Sudbury teams in, like, decades. That being said, you know, Mississauga, they didn't actually... You know, Mississauga had a good stretch there, and then they kind of fell off right at the end of the season. They only finished 3-7 in their last 10 games.
Such a nomadic team, eh?
Yeah.
This isn't like this year. It's every damn year. Even the year they went to the final, they suck for the first 3 months.
Yeah, like, they're just... They go up and down all over the place. I mean, I don't know what their deal is. So, like, that's the thing. Like, I could see them... Like, if you told me right now that this series goes 7, I wouldn't be shocked. But if you also told me that Sudbury, like, handily beats them in 4 or 5, I wouldn't be shocked either. I'm going Sudbury in 6 in this one.
I'm going to go Sudbury 7.
Ah, there you go.
I do think we're finally going to get a deep, long one. Any series that goes to April, that's one of my favorite ones. And this is one of the rare Game 7s. Is it the only one? Yeah, it's the only one where a Game 7 would be on the Monday.
Yeah, the rest of them are on Tuesdays.
Yeah. Usually you have that Octo Game 7 with all 8 series, and you maybe get 1 or 2 tops.
Yeah.
I think, what was the 1 year? We had 3 Game 7s. I think it was 2017.
Yeah, I can't remember many years where we've had more than 2, but... Yeah, so Mississauga's been in a couple of them recently as well.
Yeah.
So, hey.
Yeah, Barry, that one, yeah.
Yeah, that was a good one. And Sportsnet put it on. We'll see if Sportsnet picks up any games in this first round. Speaking of which, we go over the Western Conference, London-Windsor. I think I know what you're going to say, but go for it.
London in 2.
Check. Brian has London in 2. Yeah,
like, I don't know what, like, London, we beat them, I think, twice this year, but no.
It's just, Windsor's been just bad lately, you know?
Like, really, really fucking bad.
Like, and for an 8 seed, it's not uncommon
for
them.
We just lost to Flint, and we had the lead late.
Twice.
Like, no, and I'm not even shitting on Flint. If Flint were the 8 seed, I might say London in 5.
Yeah.
But Windsor, nah, man.
Well, Flint got hot at the end of the season. Like, they
yeah.
won like 5, or they won like 5 of their last 7 games or something like that. It's like,
if you and I actually had votes in these, like, end of year awards thing, which, come on, Krotz, hook us up with some, like, meaningless awards at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Let us present something.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would give Flint 5, but this Windsor team, nah.
Yeah.
I'm not going to any playoff games. My folks aren't going to any playoff games. My buddies who are sitting with aren't going to any playoff games. We're not paying for this shit anymore.
Yeah, it's earlier this season, I might have given Windsor a game, but now, just like, and even like London, yeah, they haven't been that great as of late, but I got to go London in 4 as well. Like, come on. It's just
like last year, Windsor shocked Sarnia and took game 1. You know, and weird shit's happened, but this is the London team that's meant to go the distance.
Yeah, totally.
This is a Windsor team that I don't even think wanted to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It just, Erie was equally dog shit.
Yeah, well, yeah, Erie had a good run, and then they just kind of, this last week they hit a wall, they lost their last 4 straight games. Sorry about that.
Saginaw is defending America's pride.
Yes, they are. And we move on to Saginaw, the West Division champs. One of the
and they blew it. They could have been the Western Conference champs.
Well,
regular season.
Yeah, I was gonna say
they blew it.
You don't get a banner for being the Western Conference champs right now. That comes in about 2 months from now. But
well, the Red Wings used to have like regular season Western Conference champion banners. Oh, they had banners for everything in the Joe. It was so stupid. For an original six team, no less.
Yeah, for a team that's like won a bunch of championships. Like,
thank God they're in the new rink and they got to share banner space with the Pistons, so it's only cup banners now.
Ah, there you go. Yeah, that's the thing. Some teams in the OHL are like that too. Like, a lot of teams put up their division, every like division they've won, but like a couple.
What's Oshawa do? Because they got a shitload of
Oshawa Memorial Cup banners. Oshawa just has their OHL titles and Memorial Cup titles.
You know what? OHL titles should go up too, obviously.
Yes, of course.
But if you want to, it depends on your history. If you're Sudbury, you celebrate literally everything.
Well,
if
yeah.
you're Sarnia or Saginaw, you celebrate literally everything.
Yeah, like Saginaw, like this division title means something to them, right?
Yeah.
For Ottawa, they don't care. Like, I last time I was in Ottawa, I remember they have their Memorial Cup and OHL title banners up in the building. Now, they do, at least...
In the hall?
Sorry?
Weren't they in the hallway?
Yeah, like
Seattle.
Yeah, like they put their division titles up in the concourse, which when you have a concourse as big as theirs, why not? Like, it at least shows...
I'm down with that for anywhere, yeah.
But, like, in the bowl, they're like, yeah, here's the ones that actually matter.
Yeah, if you got division banners, yeah, put those in the hallway. Let people take stupid selfies with them.
If you've got 50 years of history and you've won, 20 divisions, like, you don't need to put all those up in the rafters, right?
And if anyone knows, like, where these banners get printed, because I've always wanted to have, like, a massive banner hanging up in here, like an actual true Memorial Cup banner. I don't know how much it would cost to produce, but hit me up if you got any info on that. I wouldn't mind putting one up in my shed.
Speaking of banners, it should be noted, North Bay, they did their annual Centennials game this week where they wore the 94 North Bay Centennials jerseys for a game.
They look good, too.
They do look good. They actually, this time, they re-raised the 1994 OHL Championship banner, like the original one, too. That's more like a pennant style.
Oh, I love those.
Yeah, they put that back in the rafters of the North Bay Memorial Gardens, so good for them.
As they should, because as our friend Kevin says, a championship is won by a city. It's not won by a team.
Exactly.
So, like, if a team moves or something, then shouldn't be their history denounced. Now, it shouldn't carry over to the new city. It should just be like, yeah, any North Bay Centennial shit should be up.
Yeah, so they put that banner back up, so that'll hang. I don't know if they put it like alongside the battalion ones that are already there for their conference title and a couple divisions I think they've already won up there, but yeah, it's
I'll
up
say
there.
Saginaw sweeps this series.
Hell yeah, we're about to get back to that.
I fucking hate Sarnia, so...
Yeah.
And I just don't think they're any good. Like, the Hatchers are still gaining their bearings on coaching and stuff. But the team's just not there this year, so, yeah, Saginaw on four.
Yeah, I have to agree with you. Like, part of me wants to take Sarnia to, like, give them one game, but Saginaw has been one of the best teams in the second half of the season. I know, they kind of finished a little bad with their three straight losses, but, yeah.
Their coach should get coach of the year. Like, if I have my vote, it's Wellwood, but Saginaw's coaching, I can't remember the guy's name.
Craig Lazary,
yeah. He should win coach of the year for sure.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a pretty good pick. This is a solid one. Him and, yeah, I was going to give a shout-out to John Dean and the Sioux for the fact that he took a team with, they did nothing at the deadline, and they were supposed to be not that great this year. And that's where we go to next, because Sioux put up 96 points this year, losing the division on a tiebreaker to Saginaw. They will play Owen Sound for the third straight year, but this time it's in the first round of the playoffs. I know Owen Sound isn't as strong as they were because they gave pretty much most of their good players to Guelph and then gave one to London as well. So this isn't the same Owen Sound team. But at the same time, they're still not that bad. And part of me wonders if the Sioux's running out of gas, but then they finished strong. They won, they haven't lost in five.
Well, they were chasing for the division at the end. They had reason to play.
Yeah. I think this could be a lot closer than some. I'm going to go Sioux in six in this one.
I'm taking Owen Sound in seven.
Wow, you're going for the upset.
Well, I've been doing NCAA brackets since 1991. I'm an old man. And now that's 32 first-round matchups, so you got to take upsets. But that's my mindset when it comes to brackets, is you got to take an upset. And so you go for something a little bit closer, because if you're taking a 7 or an 8 seed to win, you're basically stupid.
Yeah.
It never happens anymore. What was it? St. Mike's was the last team to do it?
St. Mike's is the only team to do it in the OHL.
Yeah.
05.
So Sault Ste. Marie is just kind of a choke artist sometimes. And like you said, this is, even though they're a 3 seed, it's a weaker year for the Sioux. And especially coming so close to trying to get the division and then not getting it. Like, yeah, Sue could win this in 4-5, too, and I wouldn't be surprised in the least. But if I got to go with an upset somewhere, I'm taking Owen Sound, but I'll take it to 7.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? First of all, what a good problem to have. Oh, yeah, this is kind of a bad Sioux team.
That's a London problem.
Yeah, like, they only had 96 points. What a bunch of losers, right?
Fire the coaches.
Exactly. Different coaching staff than the last few years, too. Like, they're still doing it. I wouldn't be shocked either if the Sioux made this a short series. Like, they are a good team. But just something, like, Owen Sound is one of those teams, they never go quietly. At least not in the last 10 years, anyway. And I think, what was it, so Owen Sound ended up with 31 wins. I believe compare this to London, it probably doesn't sound that great, but I believe this was their 9th straight season with 30 wins or more. That's pretty good.
That's damn good.
Yeah. And oddly enough, the first year of that streak was the year they won the title. Like, you usually don't start off with one and then go down, but that's how it is. So Owen Sound, I'm going with the Sioux in 6. You got Owen Sound in 7. Should be it has a potential to be a good series, I'll say that.
That'll be the second best series, because I don't see Guelph Kitchener being a very good series.
Well, you never like watching Guelph anyway.
Well, it's not that. It's just Guelph's injury situation. You can speak way more to it, but games I've seen of them recently, they're nomadic too. You don't really know what team you're getting game in, game out. They've had to shuffle their lines a lot, have they not?
Not a little bit, like when a guy has gone down or whatnot, but
But I just mean you haven't had your starting lineup play.
No.
For how long?
Pretty much not since December, when we were a much different team than we are now.
Right.
Yeah. Like ever since, it kind of started right at the end of December. We had a couple of guys go down with ankle injuries right then. And then just ever since then, it seems like we can't get through a week without somebody going down. Even if a guy will go down for like 2 weeks and then he comes back. But in that 2 weeks that he was gone, some other guy's gone down for 6 weeks. And, you know, it's just been this rotating thing. I keep being told that we're missing 5 regulars out of the lineup and 5 decent players, too.
Right.
All the very top guys are there. Well, except Sean Dursey. I would consider him one of our elite players, and he's been out for a bit. But, you know, guys who contribute are out of the lineup right now, so that could make a difference. That being said, even if all 5 don't come back for this series, and I'm told at least a couple of them should be back for this series, and it's potential that all 5 of those guys are back by round 2, I think Guelph is going to win this series. Like I said, I think Kitchener could give them a good run. Kitchener has shown they can beat Guelph in Guelph recently. But at the same time, you know, Kitchener had those 2 wins in Guelph recently where they actually, like, handily beat the Storm. And at the same time, there was a game in Kitchener 2 weeks ago where Guelph was up 8-1 halfway through the second period. So, I don't know. I'm saying Guelph in 6 on this one. I think, you know, people always go like, oh, Kitchener steals them at home. I think Kitchener wins at least 1 in Guelph. But Storm in 6.
I was gonna say Storm in 6, too.
Yeah. That said, you know, if Guelph can kind of be the team that they can be, they could make this a lot shorter. And I hope, as a Storm fan, they can make it at least 5. You know what I mean?
There's always a couple series when you've got the rival teams playing each other.
Yeah.
Like, London, Windsor not counting because it's always like a 1-8.
Well, and
you know, the hate kicks in. And playoff hockey is a very different beast than regular season hockey.
And these two teams played each other in the first round last year, and that year it was a 2-7 with Kitchener, you know, being the two. And I figured going in that it was like, mate, I was going to be happy if Guelph took one game. That series.
Oh, shit, I took Kitchener to win the West this year, didn't I?
Did you?
In episode one,
oh,
yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Kitchener in six.
No, you're Guelph in six. But yeah, they ended up
either way.
They went six last year with Kitchener, you know, winning that, and that was a series that got a bit nasty and was pretty fun to watch. Though Kitchener had a couple of big blowout wins on home ice, so regardless, yeah, like it's just one of those. They're kind of close in the standings, and you know. It's that rivalry, right? Unless it's a, like you said, unless it's the 1-8, they could come out with it. And Kitchener's a pretty good team too. I mean, they may not have the depth that they did last year, but we're talking about like Jonathan Yancis. First of all, shout out to this guy. He scored 50 goals in the OHL this year. He finished that off with a 4-goal night on Friday to get 50. Actually, he ended up with 50. Yeah, 50, right on 50. He had 5 goals last year. Like, holy crap, that came out of nowhere. He had played 2 previous seasons in the OHL and had a total of 8 goals coming into this year. He scores 50 this year, so kudos to him.
If we're looking at what games Sportsnet's going to pick up, because I haven't seen anything about a broadcast schedule release. Who knows, it might not be in the O, but they're pretty adamant about these Saturday games.
Yeah.
But there aren't any Saturday afternoon games, so yeah. I don't think they'll go in the O to start, because it would either be Sioux, Owen Sound, Niagara and North Bay, and Sudbury, Mississauga, because I doubt they're going to do Sarnia and Saginaw.
They will pick up games kind of late here and there. I remember, like, when they picked up that Barrie-Mississauga Game 7 a couple years ago. Like,
but they haven't been doing that as much. They've been really sticking to the NHL stuff.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I hope we need more Broadhead Cosentino going, and it'd be good to see, like, those random-ass games.
It would be. Unless they just plan on going to the Q or the Dub. Which, by the way, it should be pointed out, we didn't get a tiebreaker game here, but we have one out in the Dub this year. Kamloops and Kelowna got to play a tiebreaker game.
Did they change their playoff format? Because Seattle's playing Vancouver. And I remember the Dub being like a completely divisional playoff thing due to...
But there is that wild card, right? So they have to...
Yeah, so they went to the NHL wild card format?
Yeah, it's divisional wild card situation out there. So Seattle, I believe, ended up being a wild card team. I think they're the last wild card team, so they got to play Vancouver, who I believe was number one in the West this year.
Those Jens green jerseys looked pretty good on ice.
They wore greens? Oh, right, they did, yeah.
St. Patrick's.
Yeah, I remember those being revealed. That was like a while ago now. And I did want to point out 6 players ended up with 50 goals this year. That's got to be the most we've had in a long time. And,
oh, yeah.
And we had 9 players crack 100 points this year.
Kevin Dugal wants to know, give us your take on what Michigan is going to have to do to execute offensively down the stretch in close games.
Well, my opinion on that is, Brian.
Shut up, Steve. No, they're shooting. Fuck, did they blow it today against Michigan State? They had the lead all damn game. Could have 3-peated the Big Ten tournament. But they get the better 2 seed than they do because they're not in Duke's bracket. Duke is winning it all this year as long as Zion stays healthy.
I was just about to ask who you got to win it all, but
I'm gonna take Michigan to go to the Elite Eight, but yeah, they're a little bit shakier this year. I'm taking, as much as I hate it, Duke. I'll post the link when I get my annual bracket pool, and of course y'all who listen are welcome to join. Just follow me on Facebook. I'll retweet on the Fanboys one too, because I control them. I don't give a shit. But yeah, it's fun. And there's one online too you can do for the CHL where you can predict like the Memorial Cup and everything. I don't know if you feel like starting one up, Steve, but get our listeners to join in, fill out brackets and stuff.
Well, we do.
It's just more boring that way because you usually got the favorites winning for a lot of it.
Yeah, like, I mean, it kind of gets. I know the OHL might get pretty interesting in the second round this year, But yeah, the first round in every league is pretty damn easy, you know. So we'll see what happens there, especially in like the queue where it's the 1 versus 16 format. Or did they get rid of that? I can't remember. They were talking about getting rid of that, I think, for next year. But
no idea.
Yeah. Regardless, last thing I wanted to touch on before we go here to our guest anyway is, so you mentioned you had Kitchener winning the West before the season started. Who did you have winning the East? Do you remember?
I think I said Ottawa.
You said Ottawa, Kitchener. Yeah, you want, you did. I said Ottawa. I remember that now because I remember saying rematch of 03. You know.
Right. It's been since, by the way, the 2016 season where we didn't have 2-1 seeds in the final.
Mm-hmm.
That's when it was number 3 London and number 4 Niagara.
But like at the same time, like we actually have a year where there are 8 like legitimate OHL championship contenders, are there not?
Yeah, and it's been a long fucking time since we've been able to say that. Usually it's 4 tops.
Yeah, like maybe, yeah, like the 1 or 3. Sometimes you might have that 3 who can win it because they're in the division with the other team that beat them out. Like when London won the Memorial Cup as a 3 seed, but, you know, they tied for first overall. So, so you had Kitchener, Ottawa. I remember I had Guelph, Niagara. So I'll give you the opportunity now. Now that we've had a regular season, do you want to change that up? Who do you think wins each conference? And before the playoffs start, who's winning this thing, Brian?
Out of the West, I'm going London, as much as I fucking hate it.
Really?
You know, dude, like...
Hey, until they get beat, they're never out, right?
Right.
Never count out touchdown Tom.
Exactly. And as much as I want to say Ottawa's coming out of the West, with the coaching the way it is, I really can't sleep on Saginaw. They're a team who hasn't proven much, and they're a team that's going to have to, like, find themselves as they get further in the playoffs because they're not used to it. But, no, fuck it.
You just said London and Saginaw.
Oh, yeah. That doesn't
you said Ottawa coming out of the West. I was like,
you were
what?
Talking about 1-16. I'm like, fuck off. Oh, so the East, yeah, I'll go Ottawa. As much as I think Niagara, of all teams, is going to be the one to push them, no, I'm just going to go with my heart and Mikey and Ottawa to win it all.
Ottawa winning it all. Okay. You know what? My head is telling me to pick Ottawa, but... Back at the start
of your penis.
My penis is telling me. Back at the start of the season, I picked Guelph Niagara, and there was a point where that was looking pretty grim, but screw it, I'm keeping it. Guelph Niagara. And I say it's the year Niagara gets it done. They finally do it. I want to pick Guelph, I really do. And I hope I'm proven wrong, but Niagara wins it this year.
I'm down with that, man. Anyone but London.
There you go. So, with that in mind, though, those are our picks. If you want to send us your picks for the first round...
Josie! He's back! He scores!
Thought we were going to get out of here. If you want to send us your picks for the first round, of course, DM them to us on Twitter, at @OHLFanboys. You can send us your first round, and if you want to get really ballsy, you can send us your entire OHL bracket as well for the whole playoff. So send that to us this week. And with that in mind, it's time to get to our guest, and Brian...
Whoa! It's time to get to our guest!
Okay, what do you got?
No. You know what I've got, and how dare you just go to the guest when this has been one of the biggest weeks for me in Jersey history.
You know what?
Fuck you!
I had been waiting to talk about this all week, and then, like, as soon as we started recording, I forgot about it. Yeah, no, shame on me, totally. Go for it, sir.
I got a grail!
You got a grail, and I'm so happy for you.
I have been looking... for over 20 years for a Windsor Compuware Spitfires jersey, preferably an orange one, and I never see one, justifiably so, under $500. And I got one. Guy wanted $250. I'm like, all right, you know what? Fuck it. I don't really have the money. Sure. I'm like, I'll get down there when I can. He goes, well, if you come get it today, $200. You just talk yourself down $50. All right, sure. I'm like, you're about 20 blocks from me. I got to walk over there because I don't drive. I'll be there soon. He goes, well, it looks like it's going to rain. I'll take the money. Just take a cab and be here soon. And I'll make it 160. Dude talked himself down $90 for my Grail.
That's awesome. 160 bucks.
It's Glenn Featherstone's 1985 through 87 jersey. It's not from the championship year in 88 because that was an Essex Sports model. This is a Cooper model. So this was from the Cooper All era, my very first.
So you only had to pay 160 bucks for a Windsor CompuWare Spitfire Gamer. Like,
yeah.
Damn.
Well, I've never once seen a replica.
Well, that's the thing. Like, with a jersey that old, there really are no replicas, are there?
No. And I've never in my life seen a tie-down with shoestrings before.
Yeah. It's old. I own a Cooperall jersey of the North Bay Centennials, and it doesn't have, like, the string, like the actual tie-down, but that fight strap is thin as hell on it. Like, I look at it, I'm like, how is this supposed to stop anything, you know?
No, it's just there for show, and it's kind of like, man, it's beat.
Yeah.
It's got holes in it, it's got puck burns, it's got board burns, and it fits me, man. Like, it fits beautifully. Oh, I'm so happy to have it. I'm done. Unless something pops up and it's offered to me, or I got some asshole who just sends me links to stuff when I don't really have money to buy stuff, and he's trying to enable me, even though he knows I'm doing a bunch of home renovations, and he's pushing me to get these jerseys.
Who are you talking about? Mm. Hey,
thank you for the.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I saw that. I was the one that found that on Kijiji, and I couldn't, like, I was willing to pay the $250 for you to have this, sir. Like,
I wouldn't let you do that.
I knew you've been looking for this for a long time, so I'm super stoked that you got that jersey. What I'm not stoked about is that you found it after the last Spitz game. Like,
oh, no, that's fine. I can wear it to Game 6 when, you know, we give London a run for their money.
Oh, you almost got through that. You almost got through that.
No.
There you go.
I wonder how I haven't checked, like, anyone's ticket prices, see if everyone's raising it a couple bucks or not.
You know what, Brian? Guelph took the advice. Guelph is going regular season pricing in the first round.
How's your attendance been this year, though?
Pretty good.
So they didn't even really need to do it.
No, they charge $26 if you buy like walk up online, because we do Ticketmaster if you buy it online. So if you do that, it's like $29 for a damn ticket. Sorry to outer towners, but we had a couple earlier in the season that were kind of bad. Like we had some like just below 3,500s, I think, or getting close to that 3,000 range. But lately it's been pretty good. Like, we've had a lot of the last few games were all above 4,500. Like, they're near sellouts. I think we did sell out two games down the stretch. So we've been all right.
Cool.
Yeah, there you go. Well, I was saying, you know, because you've advocated for a long time, make the first round the same price, because hey, there are lots of lopsided matchups anyway. First round attendance always
aren't going.
Yeah, first round attendance always sucks, especially, you know. So
because the corporate tickets aren't there anymore.
No, corporate tickets are gone. Group sales are mostly gone. And then most years there's only like four teams that have legitimate shots anyway. So even if you're like a four,
fans catch on.
Yeah, if you're like a four seed, and people are like, yeah, but what? We're gonna go to the second round. Who cares?
You got a lot of people who are, I didn't know this until I started working where I work, people pulling their kids out of school to go on vacations and shit.
Yeah.
Like, it's not a priority the first round for anyone.
No. The year that Guelph went to the Memorial Cup, I pretty much skipped the first round.
Any Knights fans who want my awesome third row seats on the blue line, hit me up. I'll buy my tickets at cost and you can have my seats.
There you go. Contact.
Go piss off the people in 103. Yeah. God bless you.
Oh, yeah, you were going on about them again this week, but we've been there, done that. So
honestly, dude, I probably was. I don't even remember. They're just morons.
Yeah, it's just every game. You know.
Fucking morons.
At Toast 84, Knights fans, for your cheap Spitfire ticket hookup. All right. Am I missing anything else, sir?
Go blue.
There you go. Our guests this week, we might as well start at the very top. Let's start with the favorites, the Hamilton Spectator Award winners. Our guest this week is from the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, working PR for not just the Ottawa 67s, but the Red Blacks and the Fury as well, all things TD Place Lansdowne. It's Chris Hoffley when we come back on the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
Rossi, left wing boards. Plays it to the far side, and Ottawa's just going to kill off the remaining seconds. It is the best season in franchise history from a point standpoint. 106. They tie a franchise record with 50 wins. They pound the Kingston Frontenacs 8-3 here today. Next up, the Hamilton Bulldogs in round one of the playoffs.
Welcome back to the OHL Fanboys Podcast. Our guest this week is the communications manager for OSEG, the guy to talk to definitely for all things, not just Ottawa 67s, but Ottawa Red Blacks, the Ottawa Fury as well. It's Chris Hoffley. Chris, thanks so much for taking some time out and joining us on this playoff preview show this week.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
A big year for the Ottawa 67s, I would say, is an understatement. This team has had a heck of a season, and almost kind of that, I don't want to call it rising from the ashes and make it sound too dramatic, but at the same time, this was a team that a few years ago was in some pretty low places as far as the on-ice product is concerned, and we'll get to there in a minute, but first I want to talk about yourself. Of course, it's not just the Ottawa 67s, of course, you're dealing with. The whole company up there in Ottawa, OSEG as it's called, they've done some big things, kind of merging everything non-Ottawa Senators altogether in the past few years, the Lansdowne Live project, the whole rejuvenation of that whole area downtown. How was it that you came to be that you joined the group? And even before that, what was your kind of ties with the city of Ottawa and getting into the OHL?
I mean, right now this is turning to kind of a dream situation, I think, for me and sports fans in the city, having all these teams under one roof, so to speak, with the Red Blacks, the Fury, the 67s, and we, you know, have a concert, mini concert industry here too, where we have an entertainment property that we bring in a lot of live shows during the year. So there's always a ton going on. But for me, I'm born and raised in Ottawa, lived here pretty much my entire life. Went to school here, went to Algonquin and studied journalism back in 03 to 05. Wanted to be a reporter and was lucky enough to find work in that field and was a journalist of various descriptions for about 10 years before I had the chance to basically start. You know, I spent a couple of years covering sports for the Ottawa Sun, and that introduced me to the Fury and then to the Red Blacks, and then to reintroduce me to the 67th as a journalist covering those teams. And you know, one thing led to another, and ended up leaving the journalism side and flipping over to the communication side, and now I'm, you know, doing a lot of similar things just on the team side of things.
There was a time.
Nutshell to sum up the last few years of my career here.
It's definitely been pretty busy, especially for the entire Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group, with all the teams. All the teams doing pretty well on top of that as well. Of course, the Red Blacks with the Grey Cup, and of course, you guys got to host a Grey Cup recently. Just everything seems to be going very well for the entire group on and off the ice / field, yeah, whatever you want to call it.
I always like to brag that in the 3 years that I've been here, we've played in two Grey Cups and hosted one with the Red Blacks, and now we're taking a charge at, you know, hopefully getting to a Mem Cup here with the 67s and some pretty sweet success, and especially with the 67s, like you said, you know, be as dramatic as you want, it is almost like the rising from the ashes. The team never went anywhere, but no, I mean, physically we got moved out of the building for a couple of years. While the new stadium was being built in Ottawa to welcome the new football team, so that kind of took the fan base took a bit of a hit there, just because it, you know, all of a sudden this team that's been playing in one spot for decades has moved, you know, 20 minutes out west to the suburbs where the Senators play, and it just didn't have a great effect on the numbers of people coming to games. But now, you know, especially with this year, you're seeing people kind of rediscovering their love for this team, and new people finding it again, and you know, people are coming back, and that's pretty sweet.
yeah, like if we take a bit of a step back, I know when I first started following the OHL back in the mid-2000s, I mean, this Ottawa team, this was a team that was near selling out the Civic Center, as it was then known, almost every night. You know, a crowd of 7,000 was kind of on the low side for this team, and still competitive at the time. You know, of course, going to the OHL final last in 2005. But, you know, not just that move out there, but it kind of coincided with the team not being so good on the ice. Both years that you guys were out in Canada, of course, were non-playoff years for the 67s. And even with the addition of some guys like a Travis Konecny and whatnot through drafting, it just things really didn't seem to come together until these last couple seasons for the team on the ice.
Well, you know as well as I do, or as well as anyone that follows the junior hockey that does that, you know, it's a super cyclical kind of thing. And, you know, this team had some unprecedented success and won championships. And then you hit this kind of rotation where you're kind of, you know, rebuilding, for lack of a better word. And I'm not a huge fan of that word, 'cause you hear it around here a lot in the city lately, but, it's just one of those things that, you know, between the lifespan of you know, a junior hockey player's career, and just, you know, different guys coming through and, you know, hitting a rut here and there. And I was kind of down in the dumps for a little bit, but it's, you know, you're starting to hit that cycle again of coming back up. And I think just this year we've just accelerated that a little bit faster than people thought. I think we were all pretty confident that this team was going to be quite good this year, but I don't think anyone would have predicted a 50-win season. I didn't anyway.
And that's kind of the one thing that kind of shocked me, of course, with the regular season wrapping up this week, Ottawa getting the 50-win season, 109 points, I believe it was. No, that was Ty Fellhaber's total. I apologize. It was 106. Yeah, 106 points for the 67s on the season, which surprised me when I heard that was actually a franchise record. And, you know, considering the success that this team has had in the past, I was kind of surprised to hear that this was their best season in regular season history.
Yeah, we've floated around it a few times before, and when we won the Memorial Cup in '99, it was, you know, I think we were at 103, so just shy of that. And, you know, yeah, this team had some great years, but, you know, this is also a very, very good year. And I think, you know, you're playing a 68 game schedule, it's hard to think that even a team that's having an exceptional year is going to get that much higher than 50 wins, you know. But there's only so many more games you can win. So I think this team is just kind of matching the kind of success they've had in some of those glory years, as we call them, back in the Brian Tillery days.
Mm-hmm. During the whole kind of revitalization of that downtown area and the formation of OSEG, of course, Jeff Hunt being the original owner of the 67s, back around the Memorial Cup time in the late 90s there when he took over the team, there had been some, I don't want to say accusations or whatnot, but kind of that's what some people were trying to say about the 67s really taking a back seat as this group tried to get the Red Blacks and the Fury off the ground and making them the teams that they are today. And with the whole revitalization of the football stadium, and while the hockey, you know, arena had some their own upgrades, some things kind of fell on the wayside with it. Some people saying, you know, the 67s kind of became the third wheel. What, you know, did you ever get the sense of that from the outside while you're working at the Sun, and now that you're back in it and seeing the 67s are on the upswing, do you think that they are kind of now more on par with those other teams that have been having success?
I mean, I think part of it was that when you're launching an organization like this, you know, with multiple teams, and you have an existing team already, a lot of that energy is naturally going to go into trying to making sure that the two new teams you're launching are successful, as successful as they can be right off the hop, especially in Ottawa, where there's been some not so great luck in launching, you know, in maintaining a CFL franchise. It was by no means a guarantee that bringing the CFL back was going to work. Everyone was pretty confident that it would, just because of the ownership behind this whole operation, and as solid as it was. But you have to put a lot of energy into that, and soccer is the same thing. It's a new sport for Ottawa, at least at the professional level. I think that, you know, I don't blame people for the perception that you know, the 67s maybe weren't getting as much love publicly. Behind the scenes, that wasn't the case. I think there's a lot of people around here that that like me, that grew up in the city. I went to Memorial Cup games during the Memorial Cup run as a teenager. That's where we hung out with friends a lot, because it was the best option, most affordable option in town. I think everyone's been working behind the scenes to get it to where it is, and the success that we're seeing this year with the big crowd, the crowds coming back, and 5,000-6,000 people coming back to games. That didn't happen overnight. It's been a work in progress. So I think, what you see on the outside versus what's happening behind the scenes is not always the same thing.
I know, being in a PR position, you're kind of limited in what you can say publicly, so we understand that. But I'd imagine, what also helps, not only with the 67s being as good as they are and everything that's happened this year, I think it has to help at the fact that that other hockey team down the road in Kanata has been facing some almost public relations nightmares this season and the past couple seasons, really. And do you find that some people in Ottawa have just kind of said, why support that almost dumpster fire right now when we could go and watch the 67s for a much cheaper price and what's been a very not just entertaining team but successful team as well?
Yeah, I do hear that, and people tell me that directly, and there's a lot of people in the city that are not shy about voicing an opinion like that. I think, again, from my end, this isn't, I'll give you a little bit of a PR answer, but this is more for me being an Ottawa guy who's grown up a Sens fan too, is that, you don't want a team, an NHL team in your city struggling in any capacity, whether it's, financially or bringing fans in or ownership issues or what have you. I don't think that's good for hockey in the city in general. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the fact that the Sens aren't in the playoffs maybe won't provide an advantage for us when it comes to getting our message out there about this team being in the playoffs. And the fact of the matter is that it is a more affordable alternative for really, really good hockey. But I've never really looked at it as a one thing or the other. But certainly there are some people that think that way, and I'm not going to discourage that either.
Of course, you guys are
how's that?
that was pretty good. Of course, you guys are one of three CHL teams that also shares the market with an NHL team, though I guess you could make that argument for Mississauga and Toronto, but directly, of course, you guys are in the same city with the 67s as well. You see it with the Calgary Hitmen and the Edmonton Oil Kings. Well, the main difference being those junior teams are also owned by the same group that owns the NHL teams. You guys had a bit of a scheduling restructuring with the 67s recently. Of course, for years they were kind of always that Friday night thing. Not that they aren't totally anymore, but you guys seem to go for a lot more of those Saturday afternoon home games, Sunday afternoon home games in recent years. Have you found that people have embraced that more with trying not to go head-to-head with the Senators at all, or is it something people just kind of staying away still? What has been your perception on that?
I think overall it's been good. I think we still have plenty of Friday games, and I think I think it's more become a factor of how we approach marketing the different games depending on the day of the week. The way the NHL scheduling is now, like, you're just as likely you might get a Friday game, you might get a Saturday, you can get a Sunday matinee game. But now it's more an effort to, Friday nights we try to market more to the university crowds and the younger people with discounted beer until the end of the first intermission during the regular season and that kind of thing. Louder music during the intermission, and Saturday and Sunday it's more of an effort to market those to the family outing and the diehard minor hockey fans and junior hockey fans, to bring the kids out with a variety of promotions for those kinds of groups. And I think that's worked really well. I think we've got a schedule that's given us the opportunity to kind of mix and match who we're trying to reach out to, keeping in mind that we're still trying to expand and rebuild and bring new people into this fan base.
One thing that you guys have done in the last couple of seasons is brought back that rivalry with your cross, I guess you could say cross town, but interleague rivals in the Gatineau Olympique, just across the river there.
Yeah.
Of course, the stuff of legend back in the day, these Ottawa-Gatineau games that got really rough and tumble, and that kind of went away for a while, but you guys eased it back in with some preseason games a few years ago, and now regular season action is back between the two teams. I'd imagine you guys have had a lot of positive response to that.
Oh man, I love it. I think people do too, but I think it's if you ever want to kill an hour going through the old game sheets from the Ottawa and Hull games from back in the day and looking at the penalty sheet, penalty roundups in those games are absolutely insane. There's not really an appetite for that kind of, you know, violence in hockey anymore. So I think it's a safer prospect to have these interleague games back and mean something. An exhibition game is, you know, it is what it is. There's not a whole lot on the line there, but I think if they're playing for something, it's great. And it's just it's an instant rivalry, whether, you know, these teams hadn't played each other in years. As soon as you put those jerseys on and talk to the players a little bit about what that represents and then what that rivalry used to mean, because, you know, guys that have never heard that, you know, oh, we're close to Gatineau, they get fired up about it, because you tell them, like, back in the day you might have three guys getting, you know, suspended for leaving the bench to brawl, and that's the kind of games these were, so, you know, get excited for it. So yeah, I'd love to see more of it.
Yeah, certainly. It's a different time than it was on those, I should say, Hull Ottawa games back in the day. They weren't Gatineau.
Yeah, you don't
then.
Just get a game suspended for spearing or whatever anymore. They take that a little bit more seriously when you start getting into those kinds of. But like those are epic. That's, you know, that's old time hockey. But yeah, no, it's still you can still create a pretty wild rivalry without some of those extra shenanigans.
Definitely, for sure. And of course, how did this all come about, is trying to get it, you know, approved again by the CHL? Because I'd imagine, as close as the two teams are, you know, travel isn't an issue or anything like that, but obviously a lot of scheduling issues, because it's not just yours and Gatineau's schedule that would be affected. Of course, that's two games that other teams would be playing against you guys or the Olympique that would have to get affected. How was this kind of like a long process to get this approved once again by the CHL, or how did all that come about?
Yeah, I wasn't involved in that process at all, so I can't really speak to the, you know, how that all went on, but I never got the impression that it was an overly, you know, arduous thing. And I think people spend so much time, the league spends so much time studying these schedules and making it work for everyone, that, you know, you can work those games in with, you know, enough advance notice, as long as you're not, you know, kind of trying to jam them into the schedule after it's been made. So I wasn't involved in the process, but I haven't heard, you know, any complaints on that kind of about how it all went down. And I think people are pretty happy with how it played out.
I managed to go to a few games at the old Civic Center before the massive renovation that had the 67s out of there for a couple of years, and I've been to some games there since the renovations and whatnot, and not just at the stadium itself, but all around the stadium. Certainly one of, you know, I rank it up there as one of the top spots in the OHL to do pre- and post-game activities and whatnot, but what my friends and I called the 10 football fields of underground parking you guys seem to have there. But, you know, obviously there was a lot of talk that the 67s would try and throw their hat into the ring as far as trying to host that 100th Memorial Cup last year. In the end, it didn't happen. A lot of people thought it would be a fantastic fit, obviously, with the 100th and being in the nation's capital. Was there any serious considerations by OSEG to try and host the Memorial Cup? And if not, what were kind of the barriers that kept you guys from putting in a serious bid?
You know, I think that's just one of those things that you can't, it comes down to, you can't get everything you want even when it seems perfect like that in a 100th anniversary year. And I know there were talks, and, you know, it would have been an awesome thing to be able to do here, but we came to the conclusion that it wasn't quite the right time at this point. Is it something that's on the radar for, you know, the future, and hopefully the near to midterm future, absolutely. But beyond that, I can't really speak to that process or when that might happen. But, you know, it's safe to say that it's something that we've always got our eye on. People are always talking about it. It's something that we can really hope and, you know, expect to be back in Ottawa at some point.
Well, and of course, on this show, we mentioned, you know, it may still be 2 years away, but we've talked about how any OHL team wanting to bid in 2021 probably already have their eyes, or at least are getting plans together to do that. Is there any plans to throw your guys' hat into the ring for 2021?
It would be incredibly not right of me to speak to that at this point, because I haven't been brought into those conversations. And if those conversations are happening, they haven't, then, you know, haven't been brought to my attention, so just have to wait and see.
There you go. Well, let's get with the on-ice product why we're here with the 67s. Of course, the Hamilton Spectator Trophy winners heading into the playoffs hot. It's been an amazing season, and it all kind of started. This was a team that didn't have to, you know, go all out at the trade deadline like some other teams did, but you know, arguably the biggest trade of the season was made by the 67s, bringing in Michael DiPietro. But before that, you know, this was a team that you could have stacked up the pre-trade deadline roster against anyone's team now. This was a team that had really separated themselves from the pack early on this year.
Yeah, I think, you know, if we had got to the trade deadline this year and there were no trades to be made and then, you know, nothing that we were looking at worked out, I think everyone, you know, in the hockey ops office and in the locker room would have been totally, totally happy and confident to move into the playoffs. With the roster we had, but yeah, like you can't pass up a chance to get a Mikey DiPietro for starters. It's like if, as soon as a guy like that's on the radar and it starts to become possible, you know, we had an amazing goalie and we have an amazing goalie in Cedric Andre, who's having a, you know, a career year of his own, with 33 wins. And so, you know, people kind of looked at us. A few people looked at us like we were nuts. They're saying, oh, you've got your number one goalie, why bring in another one? And we're kind of saying, well, you know, if you could get arguably the best goalie in the country, why wouldn't you? So that was the kind of thinking behind that. And I think anybody that's gone far in the playoffs or has watched a team go far in the playoffs knows that having two quality goalies in a, you know, 1A and 1B or however you want to call it is a huge advantage. And then to be able to add some experience with a couple of overagers in Maximovic and Kyoto, it's just massive deal. So you can't put a price or a value on that kind of experience when you've got a mix of young kids and you know, younger, older teenagers that maybe haven't got that far in their playoff careers before. So to bring in guys that have been there and done that is pretty cool, and it's gonna be huge for us, I think.
And that was something you mentioned. Maximovic and Chiodo, of course, were the other two players brought in at the trade deadline. As I said, Ottawa not the most active as far as the number of trades go, but certainly bringing in some impact players.
Good bang for our buck, I like to say.
Definitely, so, of course, it was made a big in the press by General Manager James Boyd that the 67s didn't have to give up any current roster players to bring in any of these guys.
Yeah.
And what also it was amazing to me is the fact that you guys were going into the trade deadline as good as you were and still had two open OA slots open.
Yeah, like it's crazy. Like, I mean, again, like sometimes I just kind of shrug and, like, you know, it's like junior hockey, but you just don't know what to expect. And again, the stars just kind of aligned, and you know, we had one OA player going into the trade deadline with Ty Felliber, but I think we can all agree that he's probably worth more than one OA player the way he played this season. So you know, tack on a little extra value to that. And yeah, we didn't give up a single roster player to make these deals. And not only that, we traded a lot of picks for these players, but we still have a lot of picks. We've been stockpiling draft picks like crazy for a few years, going back to, you know, the Travis Konecny deal. So there, you know, it's not like we kind of cleaned the cupboards bare to get these guys at the deadline and then didn't leave ourselves anything. We'll go ahead into the next draft and the coming draft and still be able to, you know, pick the kind of young up and coming talent that we want, but, you know, being able to make a move for here and now too.
Yeah, it really shocked me personally seeing how many actual draft picks you guys had before the deadline and still have after bringing in three impact players. I mean, everyone figured that it was going to cost the world to get a Mikey DiPietro, and while it did, you know, cost you guys some draft picks, you know, a lot of people in the end said, you know what, that didn't cost them as much as many people thought it would.
Well, I think if, you know, we were only going to make that trade if it made sense for us. And I think, like we said, there was, you know, we had a really good goalie in Andre that we were confident in. And if, you know, if the price was unreasonable to get Mikey in here, then we weren't going to do it. But, you know, he had the advantage of having a, you know, a GM like James Boyd. He knew what he wanted. He knew how to get there. And, you know, I wish I could have been on some of those phone calls to hear how that all went down, but hard to argue with the end result.
You touched on Ty Fellhaber also as well. What a season he had, nearly doubling his goal output from last year. 59 goals at the end of the day. And honestly, this was kind of a guy whose production actually fell off a little bit. He hit the 50-goal mark before the end of January and ends up with 59. Yeah. A lot of people thought, man, he's going to get 70 this year. But I'd imagine it kind of helps the fact that the 67s had such a big lead, maybe not having to go quite as all out. But what a leader this guy has been offensively for the 67s this year.
Yeah, I mean, and goal scorers are streaky, right? I mean, many good goal scorers are going to tell you that. And then Ty's had a couple of these kind of mini, I don't even call them slumps, but mini lulls where his production's kind of dipped off offensively at least. And, you know, I was still wanting him to hit 60 in the last game yesterday, but it's an unreal season. And it'll sound cliche, but it's true in this case that, you know, he's just a really good guy too. Like as good as he is on the ice, he's just a player that the coaches love, his teammates love, the media loves, the fans love him. He's kind of the whole deal, and so it's awesome for him to get a shot with Dallas with his contract that he signed recently. Just beyond well deserved. But I'm happy that we've got him for a little while longer here as we get into the good stuff.
You mentioned that the team, you know, the beginning of the stockpiling of picks went as far back as that Konechny trade. One of the players that came back in that trade, of course, several years ago now, about three years ago now, was Sasa Chmielewski. Of course, he had himself a fantastic season with 35 goals, but there was one afternoon in particular that he really blew everybody away this year.
Yeah, that was his five goal performance. You probably have that date in front of you quicker than I do, but I mean, you just don't see that very often, right?
No.
The kid is unreal. He's going to be an NHLer. He's another guy. Like, if you didn't have guys like Fellhaber and some of the other leaders we have on the team, Noel Hoffenmeyer, Sasha would be an easy choice to be the captain of this team, I think. And that's, you know, part of the reason that we don't have a captain, we have alternates, is just the, you know, the crazy amount of leadership that's in that room. But you put a guy like Sasha on the ice, dying seconds of a game, you know, my money's going to be on him every single time. And for a guy that can, you know, pop five goals in a game, it's another one where I was just screaming to get it sick. That's pretty unreal.
We could sit here all day and pretty much go down every player on the roster and the intangibles they bring to this team, because you look at the roster and just about every guy kind of stands out for you for some one way or the other. But one, you know, one area of the team I wanted to talk to you about in particular is, on top of all these great veteran players that the 67s have, the young players are bringing it too. I mean, you've got a guy like Marco Rossi, who's definitely going to be in that talks for the OHL Rookie of the Year. Jack Quinn has been a great complimentary player for the team this year. What has, you know, this is not a team that is kind of all in this year and is going to go back into that almost rebuild mode next year. Like, you guys have some great players coming back next year who are also going to have that that experience of what you guys hope to be a very long playoff run this year.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, Marco Rossi's almost hit the 30 goal mark this year, and, you know, that's as a rookie who missed some games because he was hurt for a little while. Ended up playing 53 out of the 68. So just imagine what that total could have been if he had played all the games. And again, like, it's so hard to be good in this league as a 16, 17-year-old coming in for the first time. So to put up numbers like that, I just think he's gonna own this league next year. And, you know, I say that as a complete homer and unapologetic about it. But I just think he's an unreal player already. He's you know, arguably going to be a top five choice in 2020. And you know, you mentioned Jack Quinn too. He's another one of those guys that people probably don't notice as much right now, just because he gets to fly under the radar a little bit with behind some of the big guns that we have, which I think for a rookie is also great. And he, you know, quietly had himself a 30 plus point game season. You know, obviously not getting as much ice time as some of the other guys. So some of these kids, again, like Cameron Tolnai is a young guy, our first pick in the last draft. Didn't see a ton of him this season, but again, you know, quietly in there as a good role player and someone else who we're expecting big things from going forward. So yeah, we're gonna lose a few guys in the offseason nature of the business. Guys are going to graduate out of the league or sign pro deals or have signed pro deals, and they're going to get a shot. So that's part of the game. But it's not like we're suddenly going to be faced with this team with nothing. This team built to be successful for the foreseeable future. And so it's going to be neat to watch these kids grow into next season with some experience now.
I'd be remiss if I didn't mention a couple of the defensemen on this team. Because some people, you know, it almost like this defense was a bit underrated. I know some people are saying it was the strengths, but at the same time, coming into this season, no names that were jumping off at on the page for people outside of Ottawa, I will say. And as the season has come along, you know, we've learned, those of us outside of Ottawa have learned that these are big names. You think of a guy like Noel Hoffmeyer, and of course, literally and figuratively, the big name of Kevin Ball, who, you know, shocking to me enough that he's eligible to be, and will likely be back again with the 67s next year. It always seems to be one of those players who feels like he's an away, right? Right? No, he's back for another year next year. Kevin.
Yeah, I felt like that, like, from the beginning with him. He just, you know, he seems like he's too old for the league already. So it's always good to be reminded that we get, you know, to have a guy like that in the fold. He's for a big guy, he can move, and he's just a solid, solid presence out there. Yeah, we love Baller.
And he's
one of the few. I'm 6'4", and he's one of the few guys that I have to look up to around here.
And he's definitely kind of gotten a bit more of a two-way deal to his game. I mean, he's a really good defenseman, but this year with all the offensive firepower the 67s have this year, he's certainly added to his offensive numbers as well.
Yeah, and in the last couple of games, he's been huge. He tied the game with a goal with 15 seconds left a couple of games ago and had another one the other night. So, yeah, no, he's... You can see him kind of maturing into this role in the league, and he's starting to really get the hang of it, and it's coming at a pretty excellent time for us.
That being said about him, Noel Hoffmeyer is the guy who's kind of that offensive defenseman on the back end, the power play quarterback, if you will. 62 points mm-hmm. as a defenseman, no matter who you are, is an impressive number. And he certainly is that guy that a lot of teams are going to have to be looking out for. And, man, Arizona's got themselves two of the Ottawa's best defensemen.
I know. God going out to the desert. But, yeah, I mean, Hoff's another guy that, you know, you're just lucky to have on your team. He can make things happen. You know, he obviously puts up points, but he's a responsible defensive player too. And just, you know, again, talking about guys that could easily be the captain of this team. You know, Hoffmeyer on any other team could very well be that role. But again, here it's kind of a by committee thing. But he's just another guy in the playoffs that's going to play such a pivotal role, especially when you get into those tight, grinding, you know, physical battles and get away from the really high-scoring run-and-gun stuff.
So that brings us to the playoffs now. Of course, the 67s long since clinched first place, at least in the Eastern Conference, in the division title. Just this week did clinch the Hamilton Spectator Trophy. So home ice throughout the entire playoffs this year for the 67s.
Yeah.
It all gets started this weekend. For the second straight year, you guys are going up against the Hamilton Bulldogs in the first round. Though, obviously, this series this year is going to have a little bit of a different dynamic than it did a year ago, did it not?
Yeah, we flipped it around a little bit. You know, it's where we're the one seed this time. They were the one seed last time. You don't see that very often. Again, I'll just say, you know, junior hockey. That's how rivalries are born. It's another team that's not particularly far away. We know them well. They know us well. It was a tough series last year when no one really gave us a chance, and we gave them a bit of trouble. So. This year, yeah, for sure, we're going in with a little bit more swagger, probably a little bit, but a little bit more pressure on us too. When you're the one seed, and have had a season like we've had, people are extra motivated to try to bump you off, and people love an underdog story. So you've got to guard against that as well. But boys are feeling pretty good.
I don't think there's a single person in OHL circles that would pick Hamilton to upset the 67s. No offense to the Hamilton Bulldogs this year, but for the 67s, for the 67s to be successful in this series, you know, what are they going to have to, in your eyes, watch out against this Hamilton team, who themselves have a 50-goal, 100-point scorer on their team? And honestly, for a team that really sold off at the trade deadline, and I know they've had their struggles towards the end of the season, but not a bad lineup down there either.
No, it's not. I think starting, like, you know, forget looking at individual players on this team, because obviously they have some guys that can be very dangerous. And I think Andre Tourigny, our 67th head coach, said recently that he had Hamilton pegged as more of a 4 or 5 team and not an 8. He said, you know, they're not an 8 seed, and they can't be treated that way. So I think that, you know, that starts with our guys first. I've never got the impression with the 67th players that there's really any kind of cockiness. You know, we've been well ahead of the pack in the East for most of the season, and there was never really that feeling that guys thought they were going to run away with it. It's not really part of our program here. These guys are treated like pros, and there's not really a high level of tolerance from the coaching staff for anyone getting carried away or thinking they're too good or too hot. So I think that starts with us. I think approaching this series one game at a time, again, in the sense, super cliche here for a second. I just, you know, focus, and then trying to stop guys. I've got, you know, I'm going to say his name wrong, Kaliev. Matthew Strom. Again, 100 plus point guy, and, you know, guys that can get it in there and make things happen. So I'm going to say we're not going to get too worried about who's coming at us, and more worried about our own thing, but at the same time,
well, you
got to know that any team in this league can beat anybody on a given night, and we've seen that over and over again.
Oh, definitely. Of course, that Kingston Frontenac team that kind of beat the Ottawa 67s a few weeks back and really stunned everyone, the 67s, of course.
Exactly. You just never know.
Yeah, the Fronts were on a 15-game losing streak, and the 67s had gone 15 straight without a regulation loss. And hey, it goes to show you, like you just said, anyone can win in this league. And it kind of really shows this year. I can't remember a year in recent OHL memory where going into the playoffs there were as many legitimate championship contenders as there are this year. You know, earlier on this show we talked about Brian and I talked about how there are 8 legit contenders to the OHL title this year, and a lot of years you might only see really 2 or 3 that most people are serious about. Ottawa definitely has separated themselves from the pack a bit, and many people say are the favorites, but at the same time I'd imagine if you're a 67s fan, there's probably some other teams that might scare you, or is this something that do you kind of buy into? Is there any fear over like a Niagara Ice Dogs or Oshawa Generals in the Eastern Conference playoffs for you guys?
I don't think there's any fear, but again, I'm not the guy that's lacing them up and jumping on the ice with them. So, I think you just have to be cautious of everyone. I think whether you're playing Niagara or Oshawa, you know, if we're lucky enough to get to the league finals, you end up playing a London. We played these guys during the regular season. We know there's good teams. We know who the good teams, the best teams are. I think you just have to approach it that way. It's nothing, you know, the game doesn't change. Gets a little faster, gets a little bit more physical, but, you know, fundamentally it doesn't change a whole lot. And I think these guys know what to expect. That's why we brought in the experience that we did. That's why we have a guy like Andre Tourigny coaching the squad and himself having a very experienced staff. I think they're gonna make sure these kids are prepared to not get rattled by the moment.
It's been 20 years this spring since the 67s won their last Memorial Cup. They did it on home ice in overtime. I'd imagine you guys are thinking 20 years is a good is enough time between Memorial Cups and a trip to Halifax is in store.
Well, as the PR guy, I think that sounds pretty good. I think that would be poetic. It would be so much fun. Halifax is. I've got roots on the East Coast, so the idea of being able to see this team get to that point and then fight for another Memorial Cup in a city like Halifax, just knowing the group of guys that we have right now, how badly everybody wants it, I think, you know, you couldn't write that any better.
Chris, we thank you so much for taking some time out, talking some 67s hockey with us and everything going on with OSEG up there at TD Place this year.
My pleasure, and you know, anyone listening that wants to get out to a playoff game, do it. It's the best hockey in town right now, and you won't regret it.
That's Chris Hoffley. He's the communications manager for the Ottawa Sports Entertainment Group. And if you want to get any news specifically on the 67s, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Hoffley. When we come back, we wrap up this week's episode of the OHL Fanboys Podcast.
And a face-off in the Saginaw end. They are set. The puck drops. The London Knights have clinched first place in the Western Conference with a 5-2 victory over the Saginaw Spirit, and they will play the Windsor Spitfires in round one of the 2019 OHL playoffs.
Welcome back to the OHL Fanboys Podcast. As we wrap up this week's episode, I'd really like to thank once again Chris Hoffley from the Ottawa Sports and Entertainment Group for coming on the show and talking some 67s hockey with us this week. As I mentioned, you can follow him on Twitter at Chris Hoffley. Hoffley spelled H-O-F-L-E-Y. This would be the point of the episode where we would do, you know, games to look for this week, but we just walked through all the series. But since that recording that Brian and I did at the start of the episode, you know, we mentioned at one point, well, we don't know if if the Sportsnet's going to do any CHL games in the first round or OHL games in the first round. Well, since then, of course, there's a schedule of games that have been released. So this Friday, Windsor-London Game 1 is going to be on Sportsnet 360. I should preface with this, with all these games are on Sportsnet 360. Game 1 Friday night between London-Windsor. Next week, we have three straight nights of OHL playoff hockey on Sportsnet 360. Wednesday night, Ottawa-Hamilton. Thursday, Guelph-Kitchener Game 4. And Friday, Guelph-Kitchener Game 5. And that Ottawa-Hamilton is the Game 4. So lots of playoff hockey for the OHL on the first round on the national TV side of things. Anyway, you can follow the OHL Fanboys Podcast. You can subscribe to us, I should say, on Spotify and on iTunes. And you can follow us on Twitter at OHL Fanboys. Brian is on Twitter at Toast84. And I'm on Twitter at StevenClain888. Thank you all so much for listening. And good luck to everybody in the playoffs. For Brian Thompson, I am Steve McClain. So long, everybody.
You've been listening to the OHL Fanboys Podcast.